lives and grants me daily breath. He lives, and I shall conquer death. And one thing I think you probably already know about me is that I am a person, or a pastor, or all of the above, who lives on the Easter side of the cross. Now, I know the story of what Jesus went through to get us there. I know why our church is called Gethsemane, because without his suffering, then the resurrection, in essence, doesn't have nearly the depth or the meaning. But if we forget, if we minimize, if we just sort of say, give intellectual assent to the idea of the resurrection, and then we spend the rest of our lives muddling through by our own strength, we miss out. And dare I suggest that the world misses out as well. Now, I'm calling this message today Resurrection or Bust, because I really want to drive home the importance of this. Now, in some ways, this is probably the ultimate preaching to the choir moment, right? I want to talk to you about something that's the bedrock of Christian theology, that if we don't believe in the resurrection, essentially, we don't really believe anything. I mean, I suppose I could go and sit down, and that's the end of the sermon, right? That's kind of the idea. But what I'm getting at, what I hope I can accomplish and make some sense to you, is that we really see the importance of this, and we see how it shapes our sharing. Now, I want to illustrate a bit with the shark jaw that I had up there earlier, and I want to tell you about what, to me, is one of maybe the most uncomfortable, one of the maybe even most shameful memories I have as a Christian, and that was being sort of one of these soldiers for Jesus, one of these attack dogs or sharks, talking to people and trying to bite them into the kingdom of God. What do I mean? I mean, I used an approach like this. I said, do you know that if you were to die tonight, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Do you, if you were to go to heaven tonight and stand there before God and God would ask you, why should I let you in? What would your answer be? You need to believe in Jesus. How in the world do you take believing in Jesus, the ultimate gospel, and turn it into a law? Well, I found a way. You need to believe. You have to believe in Jesus. It takes away the choice. It takes away the love. It takes away the response in someone's heart, not to the fear of being attacked or going to hell, but it takes away the love response of looking at a Savior who would suffer so much and then come back and say, that wasn't so much for me. I could handle that. And in fact, I'm stronger than that suffering. I'm stronger than that death. And I'm here for you. That is why I want to really get across on this and have us have an approach that doesn't just, you know, sort of dismiss people or attack people, but instead tries to woo people based on this most wonderful of teachings. Well, here's kind of partially how we want to get there, and I want to be really clear. The resurrection's a miracle, right? I think everyone would admit, you know, the death rate, as far as I typically see it in the hospitals where I work or just know about it in life, hovers right there at 100%, okay? So resurrections, when they happen, are miracles. Joking with one of our elders a few minutes ago, he said, if you make my sermon at my funeral longer than 7 minutes, I'm going to come back. And I said, if you do, then I've just seen a resurrection, and that's a really great thing. I'm not worried about it, right? Because resurrections are miracles. And you may question some of the other miracles in the Bible. You might say, did the sun really stand still for 24 hours for Joshua? Did the Red Sea really part for Moses and the Israelites? Did Jesus really drive out demons, turn water into wine? You know, whatever miracle you want to maybe question if it's really true or not. And I want to respect that you may be questioning and seeking about that. Scripture even actually talks about that. You know, in the book of Philippians chapter 3, it says, you know, if there's something you're not clear about, something you're not certain about, just wait. God will eventually make it clear to you. But this miracle, this is one that it's so important for us to be clear about here and now. Because if we have clarity about the resurrection, if we accept it as a miracle that is also the foundation of our faith, then we can eventually grow and gain that understanding and that clarity and that sense of peace that we can just go, you know, God said it, I believe it, that settles it, and get to that place. But this one miracle is the starting point. This miracle matters the most. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to get across. He said in our epistle reading, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I received." This is of first importance. We get this right, and we get everything else right. If you get Jesus and his resurrection right, everything else falls into place. Again, I may be preaching to the choir, and all of you have already accepted all this, but the reason why it's as important is getting this right for our friends, getting this right in our sharing, keeps us from this, the shark attack jaws, and instead puts us in a place of love and hope. That's the word I hope we take away today, that this puts us in a place of hope, of knowing something is on the other side. That's why he calls this of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised again on the third day according to the scriptures. It's of first importance. He appeared to many people to show that it was true. And then also, here's another reason why this miracle matters. In Romans chapter 6, I know it's another scripture outside of our other three readings, but in Romans 6 it says this, "Do you not know that all of you who are baptized into Christ have been baptized and buried with him, baptized into his death? Just so that God raised Christ from the dead, so also we too shall be raised. If we've been united with Christ in a death like his through baptism," which is where my, you know, some of my friends are at a baptism here today, seeing their friend's little baby getting baptized, "then if we are united with him in his death through baptism, we are united with him in his resurrection." And that's important. This miracle matters because everywhere we look, we see mortality being 100%. Everywhere we look, we see, yes, successes, but then setbacks. We see good things, and then we see hurtful things. We see suffering, and we don't just see it. We experience it, don't we? Can't run or even walk as fast as we used to. Need to get the prescription adjusted every 6 months now instead of every year because of the change, right? We see, we experience this decline, and that's why this miracle is of first importance, because it says there's something on the other side of decline. There's something on the other side of loss. There is something on the other side of death, and it is this resurrection. It is this hope that is ours. It's a miracle that matters. Now let's explore for just a moment, to be intellectually honest. What happens if it's not true? What if there really wasn't a resurrection? Well, Paul addresses that, right? He says, if there is no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised, and our preaching's in vain, and your faith is futile. There isn't any point in thinking that there's something on the other side if Jesus wasn't really raised from the dead. That's why this is a miracle so important for us to accept. If it isn't true, if Jesus didn't really die for our sins and rise again, then that means we're still in our sins. We don't have a solution. As much as, you know, the Elon Musks and everybody else in the world are trying to solve all the scientific problems, fix the human genome, and you know, do this so we don't decline, we could live forever, I'm telling you, science is not going to ever solve it. It can't overcome the second law of thermodynamics, of the decline that has been built into this world because of sin. We're still in our sins. We're stuck without a solution if the resurrection isn't true. And then the last one that's mentioned, you know, if that's really true, if the only hope we have is for this life to make us feel good once a week on a Sunday or a couple of times a year at Christmas and Easter, if that's our only hope, we are wasting our time. And we should be pitied over all people. I mean, we don't even need to take the offering if it's not true, right, ushers? We could just open up the doors and we could all go home, because we're wasting our time if the resurrection isn't true. That's why this miracle matters. And it's why we want to hold on so much to what he said. And Job is such a great example. It's a long book. It's a hard book to read. But he's such a great example because Job has seen the decline. Job has experienced the disease. Job has tasted death as he's seen children and servants all around him die. He is suffering terribly, and yet for Job, in the midst of that suffering, to see something beyond it, he's expressing these words of hope. I know that my Redeemer lives. And because he lives, I know that even after my skin is destroyed, yet I shall see God. How does that work if there's no resurrection? It doesn't. And yet he who suffered, he who saw the decline, like us, a real person, even though he's in the Bible, he's a real person who's experienced all the same things we have. And he says, I know. And I ask you today, do you know? Do you know there's this hope, there is this new life, there is, even though our flesh be destroyed, yet there is this some restoration that takes place. And with his own eyes, with your own eyes, you will see the Savior. You will see the loved ones who have gone before us in the faith. Do you know that? If we do, we live differently. We live with hope. We live with patience. We live with the assurance that this life is not the end, and any setback is going to be reversed, for there will be that day when Jesus reverses the curse and makes it happen, sets us free. I personally think we're going to fly, and every one of us will hit a hole-in-one with golf, and there's no calories in the ice cream and all those other really nice things. But most importantly, we will be alive and whole and free and surrounded by love and light. That, friends, is why the resurrection matters. Now, Paul makes an interesting turn as he wraps this up, and I want to wrap up with this thought, this idea. He says in this, I'm the least of the apostles. Why? Because Paul had persecuted the church. Paul was an accessory to murder for Christians. He attacked them. He doubted them. He brought them up for trials. And yet he was chosen by God to receive grace. To say, no, I'm going to connect you to Jesus. I'm going to, in fact, let you see the risen Savior. And his life was never the same again. And if God can do that with a persecutor of the church and someone who's accessory to murder, if God can bring his grace to, a fallen person like me from a dysfunctional family with all the addiction issues and everything else that was going on in there, if God can do that in your life, if he can show you that grace despite your sins, what could he do through us? Whose life could he change as they see us, not in attack mode, but as they see us alive? That's what the Apostle Paul goes on to say. Because by the grace of God, I am what I am, but that grace towards me was not in vain. Because of it, I have worked hard. Although it's not me that's working hard, it's the grace in me. I'm just so grateful for grace. I'm so grateful that I have the hope of the resurrection. And I want to live out the same love and grace that Jesus has shown me to other people around me. Friends, if that's our approach, then this resurrection, this study of 1 Corinthians that we've been doing will make a difference as it fills us with joy and as it also lets others see that resurrection. You go like, you're different. You're like a new person. I don't see fear in you anymore. May God help us grasp and hold on to the hope the resurrection gives us and live it out among everyone we see. Amen.